Welcome to the Wildly Worthy Podcast, where we teach you how to raise your self-worth and your net worth. Hey, I'm Nikki. I used to be super anxious and insecure until I started taking control of my life. Now I'm an entrepreneur who travels the world for fun, always looking for my next adventure. Each week, I'll share with you how you can grow your belief in yourself, learn how to overcome your fears, and create a life that you love. You are wildly worthy of all that you desire. I'm so happy that you're here. Now let's get started. Today on the podcast, we have special guest, Dr. Jessica. She's a pelvic floor physical therapist, holistic private practice owner, and coach to healthcare professionals looking to create their dream career. She's gained freedom from corporate burnout struggle, has prioritized her money mindset, and built a six-figure business with zero debt, and is making more impact and more money now with less effort. I'm so excited to share this with you all. Hi, Jessica. I want to thank you so much for being here today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to chat today. And I am Jessica Warnicki. I'm a doctor of physical therapy and founder of PACE Physical Therapy. And, you know, I do a little bit of a lot of things. So primarily, I'm an orthopedic and pelvic floor physical therapist. And I run a practice. So I have a few physical therapists that work for me, some admin assistants, things like that. So stay busy both treating patients as well as running the business. And then also have now gotten into a little bit of business coaching myself. So I'm a coach for other physical therapists that kind of have gotten burnt out at their typical corporate or insurance-based clinic and still love what they do, but don't necessarily want to keep working for the same people. So I've dove into that a little bit this year, and that's been super fun, super rewarding.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm all about wellness and movement and education. And so I have a few things, you know, in the works for the upcoming year that I won't yet talk about, but just, you know, keeping myself busy, which is what I love.
So exciting. Okay. So tell us, like, what got you into physical therapy and then moving on to where you are now? What was kind of your story leading up to that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was very fortunate in that when I was growing up, I was just naturally, you know, loving sports, involved with a lot of things from an early age. And it was a part of my life. Like, my parents were active, my siblings were active. And so I learned to really appreciate human movement and recognize what it did for me, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. And it was such a big part of my life. And I really loved, you know, medicine and learning and exercise and moving. And so I was like, well, how do I put this together? And obviously physical therapy I had been to as a young athlete. So figured it was a very fitting path for me and loved it. You know, I did your typical grad school, got my doctorate, and then did an orthopedic residency after I graduated and was working for a typical physical therapy clinic that most people have probably experienced if you've gone to physical therapy. And, you know, for the most part, it was great, especially starting out. I was around so many different people, diagnoses, you know, cases, varying levels of complexity. So it was an awesome place to learn how to become a better physical therapist. But, you know, just kind of being that motivated person I was, you know, I was moving up into the management role and found myself getting the true colors of what our, you know, healthcare system is like in this country and what it's like to work for corporate America and all of, you know, the things that they just don't tell you in school.
Right. Yeah.
So long story short, got burnt out and I didn't necessarily want to quit physical therapy altogether because I truly loved helping people better understand their bodies. But I knew I had to change. I had to do something different. And so kind of stumbled upon, you know, just a different way to create my own practice and kind of wanted to focus more on the proactive approach and the wellness approach, because I think just in general, in the US especially, we have a very structured healthcare system that reacts to things when they happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you had an injury, so let's treat it after the fact. Or you're sick with this, so let's give it a pill. Or little things like that. And I was like, well, you know, it's so much easier and more rewarding if we just teach people the simple steps that it takes to prevent all of these things unnecessarily. And so I kind of, you know, played around with just what I wanted my vision to be for my practice. And throughout that road, found pelvic floor physical therapy and found the world of like, well, what is this major body part that we all have that literally we learned about for 2 hours in school? Like we unfortunately just don't learn much about it. And as I got into a little bit more training with that kind of stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a need that every female for sure, but also males can benefit from. So then kind of merged my clinic into also focusing a lot on the pelvic floor aspect and how we can holistically incorporate that into how the rest of our body is functioning and bringing awareness to topics that a lot of people either feel are taboo to talk about or they're not comfortable talking about it because they don't, they think there's something wrong with them. They don't think it's a common thing.
Right.
And so I really just wanted to get the message out there about, you know, these types of things can be like a common, normal people might suffer from these things and not want to talk about it. So I want to bring a voice to it so that if you are scared or if you are unsure, or if you're like, what is going on? You understand that there's an option out there and that you can seek help with, you know, whatever it is that you may be dealing with and how it's all connected to everything else in your life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so much there. I love it. And I remember the first time like we actually talked was you said you were doing pelvic floor and I'm like, let's talk about it. We need to talk about more of these things that people don't talk about. I remember I had a friend who went and another friend of ours was so like, oh my gosh, you're doing that. And she was like, yeah, I need it. So what would you say to someone who is feeling like, I don't know if I want to do that?
Absolutely. Great question. And the first thing I want to say is it's very normal to be apprehensive or unsure or just not willing. And I want to quickly just describe what pelvic floor therapy is in case people don't understand. So the pelvic floor is the bottom aspect of our core. So in females, you know, it's where we hold our bladder and our uterus organs, things like that, that help, you know, structurally support our body, but it's also full of muscles and those muscles have functions such as helping with urination or bowel movements or intercourse, or obviously labor and delivery. All of that is the pelvic floor. And so I want people to understand, hey, this is a body part that for some reason, society still doesn't think is okay to talk about, like the shoulder or the knee. But in reality, it has muscles, it has nerves, joints, bone, like it's the same as any other body part. And it is so important because it completes that foundation of our body. And, you know, a lot of people we see from a pelvic floor standpoint have never had kids, but they might have a tightness or weakness in a muscle that causes leakage with exercise or pain with intercourse or things like that. A lot of clients, obviously they are postpartum or they've been pregnant and, you know, they might be having prolapse or again, incontinence, little things that people have accepted as normal, but really aren't normal. They're common. But there's so many things that we can do to address them. And holistically, you know, there's so many ways to just dive into, okay, well, what muscle is affected? What movement pattern is affected? Is there past trauma that you're holding on to and it's presenting in the pelvic floor? Like there, it can be so complex that if you're seeing or if you're hesitant about seeing a pelvic floor therapist, know that the assessment isn't just going in and assessing your pelvic floor. Yes, there is an internal assessment component, but there's so many other things we look at, you know, topics we have to discuss, methods that we can help from a rehabilitative standpoint, mm-hmm. that if you don't want that internal exam, that's totally fine. We can work on so many other things until you either feel comfortable with us and you are ready for it, or mm-hmm. you might not even need the internal exam. So there, it's just a very complex aspect that, you know, there, if we as a good practitioner would meet that person, that patient where they're at, yeah. and not obviously, you know, force them to do anything they're uncomfortable with or do anything for them or with them that they didn't fully understand the reasons for. So, you know, ask the questions, know that you're not alone, do the research if you need to, or have a discovery call with one of our pelvic floor therapists on the phone, mm-hmm. just so that you can kind of gain a little bit more awareness. And then, you know, hopefully just understand that, hey, if you've been suffering from something pelvic floor related or a nagging back injury or hip injury, even like give your body that chance to fully heal and fully figure out that root cause of what is going on in your life. Even if it's something, especially with COVID last year, we had so many patients that no trauma, no injury per se that they could remember, mm-hmm. but they were having pelvic floor symptoms simply because of the stress that they were under and the way that central nervous system was functioning in their body. And just the anatomy and physiology of the pelvic floor, it's such a common place for us to hold that stress, hold that tension, mm-hmm. and have no idea why. And so it's such a simple thing that we can address. And I just want people to know, hey, there is hope out there. There are options out there. Don't be shy, because we all have a pelvic floor and, yeah. you know, we're here to support you and to help you and to make you feel secure.
I love it. I love that you're doing this work. I'm loving that you're putting it out here. And I love that you cover the holistic, like the whole body, like you said, if there's trauma stored there and stress. I know for myself, the past year, I had a few stress-related issues come up. And it was crazy because my doctor could not, you know, explain mm-hmm. any of it. It was all, I was like, I don't know, I'm stressed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. So, but you cover it all. You cover the physical and getting to whatever's there emotionally. So that is super cool and not always the way things work, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's important too to know that, you know, maybe you have seen a physical therapist or maybe you have seen a pelvic floor therapist, mm-hmm. but, you know, every professional isn't created the same. Mm. So maybe they weren't in the situation to fully listen to you and let you share your story mm-hmm. and connect the pieces of the puzzle. So I do highly recommend, because a lot of people, they just don't have a good first medical experience, even if yes. it could be a physician, it could be, you know, any specialty, but it's like, know that there are other practitioners out there that might be more appropriate for you. And if, especially if it's a chronic thing, or if it's mm-hmm. a stress-related thing or something where you're just not sure of, you have to be working with a practitioner that allows you to talk and asks you solid questions that make you think about, you know, a little bit more in your past or, you know, current things that you're doing that you might not ever associate to a body part or an injury or pain or anything like that, because that really helps us complete that whole mental, emotional, physical aspect of health.
Amazing. Yes. Thank you for sharing that, because that is true. Some people will go one time and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, it's not for me.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're located in Austin, right?
Yes, we are physically in Austin. We do virtual consultations and work as well. And mm-hmm. even globally, like during the pandemic, it was very fascinating to be able to work with people in different countries and hear their experiences and what they had access to and what they didn't. And it was just, it was a very uniting thing to be able to interact with people from all over the world in such a crazy year.
Oh my gosh. I love, I've talked about this before, but like how the internet can like, mm-hmm. we can connect with people literally across the world. Just yes, by like amazing. Logging on, it feels like magic.
I know. Like technology has its downfalls, but this yeah. for sure, it's just been such an amazing way to connect with people.
Yeah, so cool. So let's use that to jump into our next topic. I want to talk about mm-hmm. you went to the Olympic trials in mm-hmm. Portugal, correct?
Yes.
So what was that like? were you like, yes, I'm here, like this is just
I've made it. Yes, so many emotions. It's interesting because it's definitely something that I didn't go looking for. And it's kind of crazy how it all occurred. But, you know, I, in the past, you know, I was an athlete, so I love working with athletes. And I think a lot of us as student physical therapists think that the coolest job in the world is to go work for a sports team or, you know, the professional athletes or whatever. And Dr. Katie and I, so Dr. Katie is my, one of my staff PTs. We had done an Instagram live talking about the pelvic floor, of course, but how it kind of relates to the low back, the hip, knee injuries, running injuries, things like that. So we were trying to just make it that full body picture. And one of my followers happened to be an Olympic gold medalist. And so he sent a message, you know, right after the live asking if he could fly to Austin, do a consult and, you know, have somebody assess from a pelvic floor aspect how his body was working.
Wow. Okay.
So long story short, he flew in. We did like this full day assessment and treatment of everything. And he went back to training camp the next day and was like, I feel amazing. I haven't felt this good in years. Like whatever you're doing was great. Can you help me for the next 2 weeks? Because I'm preparing for these trials. And so I ended up being asked to fly to Portugal with them. We, it was interesting because it was literally right as Europe was opening up for travel. And so just the hoops to hop through to be able to leave this country and get into that country was interesting. And we were in a pretty strict bubble once we were there, obviously just for health concerns, but it was such a unique experience, even though it was so different than it probably would have been in a normal year. It was awesome to connect with all these different like cultures and languages and people that are so similar in so many ways, no matter where they're from. And just to see the level of work and effort that they put into their specialty, how happy they were, but how focused they were and how they really are just normal people. And, you know, it was really fun, even though we couldn't really do any of the explorations that we otherwise could have done.
Yeah.
And yeah, it, just exciting, such a great experience to be able to know that, hey, not only was this cool, but also how powerful can it be to connect that full body as a whole for somebody at that level of work, and knowing that, okay, so all of us as just normal individuals, we don't even have to excel that much, but if we can connect our body just a little bit, well, we can walk or exercise or, you know, do whatever hobby it is we have without unnecessary limitations.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so cool. So this is not on our things we were talking about, but I've been watching the Olympics and thinking about athletes and entrepreneurship. And I was an athlete. I was a competitive cheerleader. And how I think that discipline that we've had, that athletes have, kind of bring us to where we are and are able to be business owners and entrepreneurs and have that, I don't know what the word is, but just like stick with it kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that discipline is a good word. And I think too, when you're training for a certain sport or when you're, you have a certain business idea, just the drive to fulfill your mission. Like if you have that vision, like, well, this is why I'm doing it. And this is who I'm doing it for. Then all those skills and the characteristics of being an athlete help you put into action all of these things that aren't necessarily easy to do, right? Like building a business is not easy. Standing up for yourself is not easy. Like making a life-changing career move is not easy. But it's like, it helps with that foundation of just, you know, feeling like, well, I'm going to figure out how to do this and it's going to work. And what's the worst that could happen? You know, like the world's not going to end. It's not that dramatic. So even if I fail, that's very normal. And it will just help me that much more, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, That's so true. Like, what's the worst? Like, I fell a few times, right? Mm-hmm. When I was doing my sport. So it's the same fail, F-E-L-L and fail, F-A-I-L, kind of go together. But yeah, I just think that is so, I just made that connection as I was watching, I think it was gymnastics the other night, to how that plays into it. So I've been to physical therapy in the past, and it was not specific to like sport athletes. And I remember one of them saying something to me about, you know, most physical therapists want to, they feel like they're not like doing the most if they're not helping people with more profound issues. So somebody who's had something very catastrophic happen to them. And it just, I don't know, it just felt really weird. I don't know how to say that. I was actually training for a marathon at the time, and I'd hurt my hamstring, I believe.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Let me give you my take.
Okay.
First of all, that's an unfortunate thing to hear from a medical professional, because you never want to, like, think of your, like me as a professional being on the other end as a patient. I would never want to feel like my provider wasn't interested in me or invested in me or really cared.
That's right? Kind of felt like my thing wasn't as important as like the other people. So maybe somebody who had a stroke or something, right?
Got it. Yeah. So I personally, I feel like there's so many different specialties within the field of physical therapy that somebody can choose to go into. And I think for a lot of us, past experiences shape where we're most interested in, where we feel most valued, and like we can create the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. And for some people, you know, maybe their grandparents suffered strokes, and so they are called to help those types of people.
Yeah.
For some people, it might be, you know, that elite athlete or whatever, or the car accident, you know, brain injury case. Like, there's so many different reasons why therapists should and could go into their specific niche. And for me, for somebody like you, let's say you have a hamstring injury, and on paper, it's like, oh, this is just a hamstring injury, nothing big or exciting, like whatever. But to you, it's like, well, I have this goal to run this marathon by this date. Mm. And I think especially with, you know, providers like me that have either our own practices or we're able to have the luxury of treating our clients one-on-one for an extended period of time, we look at it very differently. We don't look at it as a diagnosis or limitations. We look at it as, okay, this individual is trusting me with their health and they are prioritizing their health with something that so many people just wouldn't think twice of. You know, something like, oh, I went running, hurt my leg, so I'm going to stop running and do nothing. Now I have an excuse to not run. And I look at it like, oh my gosh, I love that this person is so invested in their health that they want to fix this hamstring injury. They want my professional guidance to overcome it and then to learn how to prevent it so that they can do that marathon without limitations, because that marathon is important to them. And I think it's especially, you know, any orthopedic injury, even, you know, neuro injury like a stroke or a brain injury, and even something like a pelvic floor dysfunction. It's so common for a typical healthcare provider who sees 30 of them a day to be like, well, this is just another number on that list of diagnoses that I'm treating. Our healthcare system makes us see like three or four people an hour. So we can't, you know, really learn what's important to that person. And I think if you're that type of patient where something is super valuable for you, you have goals or you prioritize your health or wellness in a certain capacity, find the type of provider that's going to meet you there. And you probably like, I don't know your story, but if I was you, I was like, well, why would I go back to this person?
They don't care. Yeah.
I'll just stop going, save my time and energy, and figure it out somewhere else. And so I think that's another important point to make, is like, there is somebody out there that literally went into the healthcare field to help somebody just like you. Like, you know, you're going to find that person that matches your personality, matches your you know, quirky habits or whatever. And then, you know, really wants you to succeed at whatever is important to you. And so again, it's unfortunate that you've had that experience, but I think it's not an uncommon experience. And that's why I think it's important to talk about, because it's, I mean, I would be the same way if I didn't know any better. I'm like, well, why would I go to the doctor? The doctor just gave me this pill and that's not what I wanted. So now I'm going to quit. Like, I'm just going to not do anything.
Yeah. And I did see I think I saw an orthopedic doctor, and I said, well, you know, I'm fine to run this many miles. When I get to this many miles, then it starts hurting. And he's like, well, don't run that many miles.
I was like,
really?
Nope. Yeah, it's like, well, okay, but that's not helping my problem. Like, you're supposed to help me figure this out. And yeah, I wish you could have been my patient back whenever you were injured. But moving forward, now you know that different options for you.
Yeah. I don't run marathons anymore, but that's not completely the reason.
Right.
So cool. I love what you're doing. Tell us let's go back to pelvic floor for a minute, because I think that could, in running, that can show up, right?
Absolutely.
What are some symptoms or like ailments like people might be noticing that could be saying, hey, you might have a pelvic floor dysfunction?
Great question. So for running, it's actually a very common complaint or factor. Some things are super obvious, such as leakage with running. That's probably the most common. Oftentimes too, if there's a female that has prolapse, then that sensation of bulging or heaviness in your pelvic floor can also be a sign of pelvic floor dysfunction. Other common things though, frequent or nagging recurrent injuries in the back, in the hip, the knees, the feet, the ankles, all of that can often be affected by a pelvic floor, either a tightness or a weakness or a combination of both. Okay. And I think too, for people, you know, just, I'm not watching form or anything like that. Typically for the average runner, their form might feel a little off, whether they can feel it or whether somebody can just see it as they're running, like they're not symmetrical. And that's another indicator that, hey, there is something going on. And, you know, how's your hip strength? How's your knee control? How's your back functioning? All of those are kind of put together with that pelvic floor between them as that foundation.
That's so interesting. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like not even just female specific. Like it's less common in men just because the male pelvic floor is more external than internal. It doesn't have to support the same things in the same ways, but it's definitely a question that should be asked, especially if you've had recurring running injuries or you're working on the hip strength or the back strength or the core strength, things like that, and you're still not getting better. Then it's like, hey, there's something else going on. Let's dive a little deeper and see if we can make sure we have that root cause established.
Wow. Okay. I've never even thought that, like all the years that I was running, that could have been an issue, right? When I was having injuries.
Yeah. And for the most part, it's pretty easy to address. It just takes knowing what to do at the right time and staying consistent. So it's not like you need to necessarily stop running or to start doing an hour of PT a day. It's more like, hey, what are the two or three adjustments that need to be made? When can I time this? And then how do I progress it from there? And that's what a good professional can definitely help guide you with.
Amazing. I love it. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we hop off?
Yeah, honestly, I just want to highlight the value of literally just doing something simple consistently for your body. Whether it's, a deep breathing 2-minute routine or getting out and walking a couple times a week, just giving your body some form of movement will essentially help thank it in a way.
Oh, I love
everything
that
it does for you.
Yes.
Right? I feel like we're so busy. We get so distracted with our day-to-day tasks and, keeping up with society's expectations and things like that, that we forget to appreciate how much our body actually does for us until it's kind of too late and you're like, oh, well, now I have this nagging injury and that's annoying. And now I'm upset or angry or frustrated. And so honestly, just remembering to honor your body and appreciate movement in whatever that looks like for you. It doesn't have to be lifting weights or running. It can be, you know, yoga or stretching or walking. But doing something fairly consistently will set you up so much better for the future, especially as you age. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is free, takes a few minutes, and all of us are capable of doing it. So if I could share anything that people take out from today, it's like do a little bit of something consistently just to thank your body for everything that it does for us.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And the proactive, right? Getting it before you get injured, taking care. I love the gratitude part. Like that's all I talk about. So
yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Okay. Tell people where they can find you online if they want to check you out.
Yes, definitely. I am most active from a social media aspect on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely check me out there. I provide almost daily health tips in some capacity for all over the body. And my handle is Dr. Jessica PT. So Dr. Jessica PT. And then my website also has a bunch of information on it, blogs about a variety of topics and diagnoses. And then, you know, if you ever wanted to meet us or work with us in any capacity, the website is pacept.com. And we honestly, my staff and I, we just love helping other people understand their body. So even if you just send us a DM with a question or a video request or things like that, we're always happy to try to respond and see how we can help you.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on. Yes, I can't wait to share this with everyone.
Thank you so much, Nikki. This has been a blast and I really appreciate you having me on.
And there you have it. I hope that you guys will go check out Dr. Jessica on Instagram and on her website. She has so much to offer and so much to share, and I love the work that she's putting out in the world. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe the podcast and share the love on Instagram. Bye.